Grace, you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the beginning of the book of Revelation, Jesus calls himself the Alpha and the Omega. The book also comes to a conclusion with that phrase. The reference is easily understood, but the metaphor does get explained as the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And if we remember the beginning of John's gospel, in the beginning was the Word. All things were made through him, and without him, not anything that was made was made. Jesus, as the beginning of all things, is an important emphasis for John. And as all things were made by him, they all return to him. And it's this juxtaposition of beginning and end that I want to talk about today on All Saints Observe. Our reading from Revelation is two halves of the same vision. What John is seeing is all Israel, all believers from all times and places. But what I want to suggest is that John is seeing all Israel at two different points, the beginning and the end. He's seeing Israel as the Alpha and the Omega. The entire text is set in the midst of the Lamb on the throne, and he's been opening the seven seals on this scroll. And as he opens each seal, something happens to the residents of the earth. And after the sixth seal is opened, you have all of the apocalyptic symbols. Earthquake, and the sun being blackened, and the moon turned to blood. And the call of the great ones upon the earth is for the mountains to fall. For the great day of the Lord has come. And who can stand? And interrupting that question, who can stand, is an answer in this interlude. John sees an angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God. From the rising of the sun, from the beginning. From the beginning, when the four angels who were given power to harm the earth and sea, to ruin creation, but they were bound at that point. Do not harm the earth until we have sealed the servants of God. It's John's visionary way of what Paul says in Romans. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he justified. And those whom he justified, he has also glorified. Before any of us came into being in any conscious way, God knew us. Before we lived our first second, he had sealed us, that seal of the living God. From the foundation of the world, the saints of God, all of Israel, was marked that these, that this one is mine. But then we get to the numbers and the names. Who and how many? The sons of Israel, the vision says, and 144,000. Well, great. Sounds like I'd have better luck winning the lottery. But that's not how this works. For two reasons. The Omega, the second half of the vision, will help us understand. But before we jump to that second half, understand something about numbers and visions. Already in the Exodus, Israel, physical Israel, was larger than 144,000. This is not a census of God's people as the nations of the earth would do it. It's the ceiling of all Israel from before time. 12 is one of those numbers of completion. You have the 12 tribes of Israel represented here. Jesus had his 12 apostles. It was important enough to have 12 that the 11 would replace Judas. And if you look at the original 12 tribes and compare them to the list that we read, you'd find something interesting. That Dan has been removed and the half-tribe of Manasseh has been inserted. Manasseh was the older son of Joseph. And Joseph, as the oldest son of the favorite, gets a double portion of the inheritance. But that one that fell along the way, like Dan into deep idolatry, or Judas to betrayal, is replaced. Because the complete number, the whole number, is 12. And if that makes sense, you might have a future interpreting the apocalyptic. But if not, just accept that 12 is the full complete number. And for each tribe, you have 12 multiplied by 1,000. You have a full number multiplied by the largest number in ancient Greek. Who can stand? Those whom God has chosen from before time. Who? All Israel. How many? A big, full number. And not one of them will be lost. God has sealed them. God has sealed you. And He did this before any harm could come to His creation. The second half of the vision helps us. After John's vision of that ceiling is over, he looks again. And instead of those 144,000 of all Israel, he sees a great multitude that no one could number. And he sees that they come from every nation and tribe and people and language. And they have a song. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Who can stand? The Lamb. And all those who have been saved by Him. How many? More than anyone could count. Who? From any group that you can imagine. Every nation and tribe and people and language. What we saw as all Israel in picture language at the beginning, we now see in the reality at the end. This is Israel and their song. Now, he's also watching this song swell from the people to the angels and the elders and the living creatures getting closer and closer to the throne. And as he's seeing this, John gets asked the question, who are these? Something that we've already guessed or asserted. But more importantly, how did they get here? John is stumped. He's seen all Israel turn into this unaccountable throng in reality. But what is the ceiling? What ensures that all of these people arrive here? And he begs the elder, who is asking him, "Sir, you know, tell me." And the elder tells him, These are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. All Israel has been saved by the blood of the Lamb. All saints have been sealed by the blood of the Lamb. The lamb of the Passover smeared on the lintels and posts that death might pass over. The blood of the Lamb given to you in the sacraments. All Israel has been sealed in time by the blood of the Lamb. The blood which flowed from Christ's side on the cross, the blood of the covenants, old and new. All saints have their white robes by the blood of the Lamb. Now, there is one little word in the elder's explanation that we should think for a second: the tribulation. In the beginning, God sealed His. In the end, all Israel is saved. Between the Alpha and the Omega stands the cross. All saints have picked up their cross and followed Him. All the saints walk through the valley of the shadow of death. All the saints struggled against the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature. All the saints have come out of this tribulation. There were those angels that have been given power to harm the earth and the sea. And from that beginning until the end, they have sought out God's seal. Tribulation is not some special time that maybe we can be avoid. Because all the saints have come through the great tribulation. But all saints, those that the church remembers by name, those that might be close to your own hearts, alone, those who maybe are known only to Christ, all the saints have come out of the great tribulation because of the blood of the Lamb. They have come out because God knew them from before time and God sealed them. They have come out because they have been marked with the blood of the Lamb. All saints have not passed through the tribulation by their own efforts. They've come through by the grace of God. And so, John's vision ends with a promise. We might ask, why would anyone want to go through the tribulation? As the psalmist complains, at least in one place, it would have been better that I was never born. But this is a vision of what Paul says, it is better by far to be with Jesus. They are sheltered with His presence. What we have under bread and wine and in the Word, they have in His full presence. And they neither hunger nor thirst. And we can take that as the basics of food and drink, but I think that idea goes deeper. All those things that we hunger and thirst for that might lead us astray from the narrow way, they, those saints at rest, do not have a problem with anymore. Our sinful nature, the sin which lives in our members, has been taken away. The sun shall not strike, nor any scorching heat. That crucible of temptation that Satan puts us through is over. the brightest, shiny things of the world, that we would so often trade our eternity for one day with a piece of them, will no longer strike our eyes. Our troubles with sin and temptation will be over, because the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. The saints at rest have the fullness of Christ. And instead of chasing shadows and ending up at bitter waters, they have the living water. Instead of the repeated repentance over the things that I don't want to do, but yet I do them. Instead of the tears over how I have betrayed my Lord again and again, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Today, we have tribulation. Today, we sin and we repent. Today, we struggle with temptations. Today, we deal with things that are not fully revealed. But tomorrow, there won't be any questions. Tomorrow, that distant triumph song that steals on the ear swells to the Amen, blessing and power and glory. Tomorrow becomes forever and ever. Amen.